You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
With you. If you're with us at home, welcome. So let me get myself set up here. So out of curiosity, is anyone here tired? Woo, lots of tired folks in the room. Maybe you're just like tired from being up too late last night, or are you just sort of like generally tired, weary? Kind of discouraged, maybe feeling burned out. Maybe you're tired from struggling with something you've been struggling for a while, maybe something chronic, maybe a chronic health battle or struggle with anxiety or depression, or maybe you're just kind of weary from, you know, it's just still some of the social isolation from the pandemic and just ongoing ramifications from that in your workplace. Maybe you're struggling with a really acute personal pain right now. Maybe it's something like going on right now in your life that's a struggle in your marriage or something going on with one of your children or something going on in your job situation, a relational issue, or maybe you're just looking around the world right now and feeling kind of hopeless and helpless. I mean, even if you yourself are not personally going through something hard, you don't have to look far outside your front door to notice quite a bit of suffering in the world right now. Our world's not in great shape right now. So what do we do? What's the response for those of us who consider ourselves followers of Jesus? What's our response to a hurting world when you yourself are hurting? What's our response to a world that's overwhelmed when you yourself are overwhelmed? How are we meant to rescue other people if we feel like we ourselves are drowning? And so you may wonder, as you're kind of processing your own pain and your own weariness, is this what Jesus meant when he said, if you want to follow me, you got to carry your cross? Or in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, it says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. So we read these scriptures and we're trying to figure out what it looks like to follow Jesus. And then we wonder if our marriage is strained or we have kids going off the rails or if we're battling anxiety, we have a chronic illness. We may start to wonder, is this what Jesus meant by carrying our cross? Is this what it means to share in the sufferings of Christ? And so this can be painful and confusing, right? We can be like, how do we respond? How are we meant to pray for this? We're like called to this kind of suffering. And so what exactly is Jesus inviting us in here? What does it mean to carry our cross or to share in Christ's suffering? And how do we respond to our own and to the world's right now? So as Dave said, this Wednesday's Ash Wednesday. And if you're not familiar with that, that's kind of the beginning of the Lenten season. The season is we prepare our hearts to journey with Jesus to the cross and then celebrate the resurrection. And so, once again, Ash Wednesday is an opportunity for us to turn our attention once again to our own weakness, our own limitations, our own need for a Savior. And this will mark the beginning of that season. And I think it's here that we're going to begin to find an answer to this question of how to respond to our own weariness, our own suffering, and to a world that needs hope. In John 19:33, or John chapter 19:33, this is the scene where Jesus is on the cross. He's been crucified along with two other people, and it's time to take them off the cross. That they've either died or they're close to death. They've been on the cross. And so typically, this was a way that the Romans executed criminals. And if they weren't already dead from the elements and from the beatings and from bleeding out, they would break the legs of the criminals and take them down off the cross. But in this case, Jesus had already died. And so they didn't break his legs. And so it says, but when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. Blood and water. This is a really interesting detail that seemed really important to John. And so if you're familiar with the Bible, there's like four gospel writers that all recount the life of Jesus, his life, his ministry, his death, and resurrection. But John paid a special attention to these details because he really noticed symbols like that pointed to the Torah, the Old Testament, that he made all these connecting points. And so I believe he wanted to include this piece that out of Jesus' side, blood and water flowed, because the blood represents the sacrifice that Jesus made. It flowed for the forgiveness of sins. The blood represents this new covenant that we're under that we just talked about when we took communion, when we received the sacrifice on our behalf. The water represents what? We've been talking about, class? The Spirit, right? The water represents the Holy Spirit. And so, following his death and resurrection, Jesus gave us his Spirit to make all things new, to actually now experience the kingdom that he broke in, this eternity now, just as we sang, on earth as it is in heaven. And so the sufferings we are called to contain the blood and the water, the sacrifice and the resurrection, Good Friday and Easter Sunday. This is not the same thing as the general suffering that comes from being a human in a fallen world. This is a different kind of suffering. Gordon Fee, who's a theologian, after conducting a careful examination of that piece in Philippians I just read, he summarizes his conclusion as this way. He says, thus, Christ's sufferings do not refer to sufferings in general, but to those sufferings that culminated in his death, all of which was for the sake of others. Likewise, it is not just any kind of present suffering to which Paul refers to in the preceding phrase, but to those which in particular express participation in Christ's sufferings, and the aim, as well as the character of such suffering, is to become like him in his death, which almost certainly means suffering that is in some way on behalf of the gospel, thus for the sake of others, since no other suffering is in conformity to his. So in other words, the sufferings of Christ are intrinsically missional. They're bound up with Jesus' redemptive purposes. So this means that sharing the sufferings of Christ relates more to identification with a lost and hurting world, with denial of our own comforts and conveniences for the sake of others, with persecution that might come in the context of the Great Commission and by extension, combating the kingdom of darkness, rather than just the natural groanings and frustrations of our present evil age. Because we're all experiencing groanings and frustrations, aren't we? And that's just part of the human experience, whether you're a follower of Jesus or not. That's just part of being human in a fallen world. But Jesus is actually inviting us into something different. And so this explains why the vast majority of texts that touch on this subject have in view in mind the kind of suffering inherent to mission and the inbreaking of the kingdom and the participation in that. 2 Corinthians 4:10-12 says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So where am I going with this? You're like, is this going to be a depressing sermon? I hope not. I don't mean for it to be depressing. But before I can dive more fully into what I feel like the Lord's put on my heart to talk about today, I really want to distinguish these kinds of sufferings, because I know a lot of you are in pain, and it can be hard if you think I'm up here saying, I now am inviting you to take on more. I know you're tired and weary, so I want to heap more on you. So I want to distinguish that these are not the same things that God is calling us to. And so what I'm suggesting today is that I actually believe God wants to meet you very personally in your personal pain. He wants to bring healing and deliverance and freedom. His promise for you today is to heal your whole person. He's about healing all of you, your emotions, your spirit, your body. And his promise is to redeem and restore and repurpose all of your mistakes, your past, your brokenness, your wounds. His compassion is present and active for you today. But he wants to exchange your burdens for his. And so what I want to unpack is, how can we move to a hurting and broken world in a way that doesn't swallow us up and take us out? Because our world is weary And even followers of Jesus are kind of pulling away because we're tired. And we're becoming more self-protective. Pastors and clergy are leaving the ministry by the droves. I don't know if you know that. Because just the pressure and the burnout is too much. And they're just like, I'm done. And I know a lot of you, I know where you work. I know some of you, different ways you're working with broken humanity. I mean, Milwaukee public school teachers do not have enough summer breaks. They just don't. Those of you in the healthcare industry, I mean, you're just getting the crud beat out of you. Even like the people in the service industry are like, I've had it. Like, I'm out of here, right? We're just done. And so how do we, church, not shrink back and turn our back on the world? Continue to move toward brokenness, toward suffering without shutting down ourselves. Well, I think we need the compassion that comes from the Holy Spirit, because when the Holy Spirit fills us and moves us with compassion, there's power. There's kingdom breakthrough. I want to go just through a really brief journey through several moments in the Gospel of Matthew, where we see this place where Jesus, they say, is moved with compassion, which always leads to a kingdom breakthrough. So as I've said before, everything supernatural that Jesus did, he did not do out of his own divinity. He did it in his own humanity, in reliance of the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told him what to do and then showed up with the power to do it. He modeled for us what a Spirit-filled life looks like. And so by the Holy Spirit, he's moved with compassion, which then resulted in some kind of kingdom breakthrough, some kind of initiative from the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to start with Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. It says, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them, because they fainted and were scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he might send out laborers into his harvest. We'll jump down to Matthew 14:14. Jesus went ashore and saw a great assembly, and he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Matthew 15:29. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up to the mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to them, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. His disciples answered, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Seven, they replied, and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the seven loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up seven basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. In another account of a similar scene in Mark, he says that Jesus came out and saw many people. He was moved with compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And then jump down finally to Matthew 20:29. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. There were two blind men sitting by the road. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. The crowd demanded that they keep quiet, but they cried out all the more, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. Jesus stopped, called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, they said, open our eyes. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately they could see and they followed him. Now, are you noticing a pattern here? Jesus is moved with compassion and there is a kingdom response. He releases intercession. He heals their sick. He begins to teach them many things. He multiplies bread, which he did in the literal, but it's also a picture of the disciples giving him away. He touched their eyes and they could see. Now, some translations, the NIV often uses, will say, he had compassion on them. But I think moved with compassion is a more accurate term because it's a move of the Spirit. I'm not saying Jesus wasn't sort of like was sort of compassionate as a human being. He probably was. But this kind of compassion, when he's suddenly in a moment moved with compassion that results in a kingdom response, was a move of the Holy Spirit. The Greek word here, translated as compassion, refers to something that happens like in the gut. And so it's not a perfect translation, but it's like, the best way to describe it would be like a tearing of the gut. It's like a deep connection with a sufferer. It's like a deep identification where you almost feel it in the gut. The Hebrew word for compassion, actually, they would refer to like something happening in the womb. And so it would be like out of the gut or the womb, this compassion is where the Spirit is moving the compassion. And out of the gut or the womb, the Spirit then releases regenerative power. So Jesus is moved with compassion. He doesn't just stop at the grief or the sadness or the feeling of being overwhelmed at what he sees. He releases the kingdom into the brokenness, the light into the darkness. And he's able to do this because the Holy Spirit moved him with compassion and releases the power to heal, to intercede, to teach, to multiply. So Jesus was able to live and move and minister into a very dark and hurting and broken world without losing himself, because his hope or his joy, because he only responded to the burdens that God shared with him at any given time and was filled with a kingdom response to the burden. So I'm not saying he never got sad or tired or weighed down. He certainly did. I mean, we see many pictures of him like just like moving away from the crowd, going away to take a nap, to get with his father, to get refilled. He certainly, in his human limitations, got tired. But he carried both a compassion and the kingdom reality in his being. See, God does not ask us to save the world. Good news. He already did that. We don't have to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. He has already saved the world. But he invites us to share the burdens he carries for a world that he loves, while empowering us to release the kingdom into those places. So we are called to drink the cup of blood and water, the sacrifice and the Spirit. We carry the cross and the empty tomb in our beings. Romans 8:17 says, "Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we also may share in his glory." So we don't get one without the other. I think many of us want to see God's power come. We want to see signs and wonders. We want to see the kingdom break in, but we don't want to share in Christ's sufferings to identify with the sufferer, with the lost and the broken. Or we're trying to move toward people in our own compassion, with our own resources, which leaves us overwhelmed by the pain of the world. But God's calling us to move in his Spirit-led compassion, and when we do that, we carry both. We carry the pain and the promise. We carry the sadness and the joy, the wounds and the wonder, the grief and the hope. And Jesus promises that his way will keep our head above water, that his way is light. Jesus says to us in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He invites us to rest in him and then take on his burdens, which will not be too much for us to bear because they are married with kingdom power. I think we often feel weary because we are carrying burdens that we aren't meant to carry. You see, Jesus' words here are transactional. He's like, those burdens you're carrying for yourself or the world, they are too heavy for you to carry. They are too much, but they're not too much for me. So you release them to me, and I will give you back my rest. And then try on my burdens, which have kingdom solutions. I know I've shared this story before to some of you, but I'm going to share it again. Several years ago, so those of you who don't know, I have a daughter who's has kind of complex special needs, and she's disabled. And she was part of a school in Milwaukee Public Schools for several years that specializes in kids with different levels of disabilities. And she was in the highest needs group, so she was with kids who were predominantly unable to walk and are predominantly nonverbal. And up until this point in my story, which was a few years ago, she'd had a really good experience there. She'd had the same teacher who'd been there for like 20 years, a great teacher, well-run classroom. She seemed happy, well taken care of. I had good communication with the teacher. Well, then fast forward, she's in her last year there. She was in eighth grade, and her teacher retired. And for whatever reason, she had to retire in October. It was weird, like the way the system was working for her. And so it retires in the middle of the year. Well, it's a real specialty kind of teacher for one thing, but then you're trying to find this really specialty kind of teacher in October. So they couldn't find a good replacement for her. So they end up moving two classrooms together. So now they had two classrooms, these high needs kids in one, and they were trying to hire two teachers, plus then they would have like two aides and the nurse, like all in this room together. They end up finding a teacher who had never worked with this population and wasn't an ideal fit. And then they just had a slew of subs coming in for the other role. So as you can imagine, the classroom was not functioning very well. And then the aides were kind of disgruntled by the chaos. And so it was just honestly a toxic mess in there. And I was starting to notice these changes, but didn't really recognize how bad it was until one day I had to drop my daughter Abigail off at school. And as I walked into the room, you could just feel it right away. You could just, you know, those moments, you're like, this doesn't feel good. It just felt chaotic and strained and tense. And usually that classroom was serene and calm and happy. And my very first thought was, I'm taking her out tomorrow. I'm just taking her out of school. And I looked around, I saw all the need in the room, and I just felt overwhelmed by it, and I just wanted to take my daughter and run. So that was my plan. So I get home, and sometime the next day, I don't remember if it was like a weekend or what, but I was sitting with God, kind of having having some time with the Lord, and I was doing what's known as an examine, and it's where you kind of let the Holy Spirit guide you through the memories of your day. And just you kind of ask him to show you, the Holy Spirit show you, like, where have you kind of moved toward him? Where have you moved away from him? What's being highlighted? So I'm just doing this with no agenda. And when I got to the point in my memory with the Holy Spirit of going into my daughter's room, suddenly it was like he stopped me there. And I just saw all the faces of those kids. And I could tell he was just highlighting this moment. But I didn't know why exactly. So I just kind of moved on through the examine. The next day, I was just doing chores around the house, and I'm kind of a weirdo. I'll kind of like do chores and daydream and pray all at the same time. It's kind of my way. So I'm just kind of like talking to God, talking to myself, folding laundry. And as I'm in this kind of stream, I was thinking about somebody in the church who used to be really great with my teenage son and kind of pour into him and was really fun with him. And I just remember thinking how great it was. My oldest, who's now a freshman in college, was kind of a difficult kid. And so I remember kind of like thinking out loud or thinking to God, you know, when someone takes care of your kid, it's the same, it feels exactly the same as them taking care of you. Like, I just remember saying that, like, when someone takes care of your kid, it feels just like them taking care of me. And I heard God say so clearly, that's exactly how I feel. And immediately I get up all this picture of all those kids in my daughter's room again in my face. And I knew he was saying, like, that's how I feel. If someone would take care of them, it'd just be like them taking care of me. And I knew he was asking me, rather than taking my daughter out, for me to go in. And so I sat with that for a little bit. I was like, is this really God? Is this really what you're saying? And I just felt sure it was. And so I thought, I don't even have a special ed degree. Like, I have a regular ed degree. Would they even hire me? Maybe I could be a temporary sub. I'm going through all the things. And I'm like, you know what? If this is from God, I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm just going to call central office and try to talk to someone. So I literally did. I just called and asked to speak to, like, the recruiter or the hiring person. By the end of our conversation, I basically had negotiated a full-time job with a full-time salary and benefits, despite the fact that I didn't have the appropriate qualifications. And so she said, yeah, like hired me, like basically over the phone. And granted, I had taught with MPS, so I had some stuff on file. I wasn't a total stranger to them. So a couple days later, I started this job. And, I will have to say, this move of compassion that happened to me was not my own compassion. And I am sort of a generally compassionate person, but I had no desire to go into this place. I mean, I walked in and my instinctual reaction was, this is overwhelming. I want to take my daughter and get out of here. So that move of compassion was a Holy Spirit move of compassion, which means that I had to trust him to show up with kingdom power because I was entering a very dysfunctional, broken place. And I'd like to say that, I entered this broken place filled with these beautiful broken children that Jesus fiercely loves, and man, just signs and wonders broke out, and everyone turned their lives, their hearts to Jesus. It became this beautiful, peaceful place, and that is not what happened. It was not that pretty or idyllic. It was very hard. It was very hard, and I did suffer, but the Holy Spirit showed up every day in that room. All kinds of things happened. I had a chance. There was an aide in the room who had been a follower of Jesus for a long time and had kind of fallen away and was feeling really lost. She had a really hard past, and I just had opportunities to connect with her and pray for her, and she even came to church a few times with us, and there was another aide in the building that I got to connect with and pray with her several times. I got to pray with Abigail's bus driver. I got to anoint all the kids with oil and pray for them and just love on them for that year. I even was filled with the Spirit in such a way I was able to stand up to this bully in the classroom, which was a supernatural moment for me because it was actually something hard for me to do. But it was like God showed up in a really powerful way and broke kind of an ugly hold that was over the classroom, and things began to change. And I remember one particular day, several of the normal staff that could be more difficult were absent, and it happened to be an unusually nice day out. We usually didn't take the kids outside, which I thought was ridiculous. So I said, we're taking the kids outside today. I had mostly subs, and my one aide who I connected well with is like, we don't have enough people. I'm like, we'll get some eighth graders. So I like called upstairs, I got some eighth grade volunteers, because we had to like push all these kids in their chairs. We had some kids like grabbing onto each other's chairs. We went outside, spent all afternoon outside, had this amazing day, like put the kids on the swings. I remember I had like three kids in chairs holding on to each other and just like zooming all over the parking lot. It was just such a fun day. And I remember when we got back in the room, this one little girl was having so much fun. She like refused to let go of the chair she was holding on to. Like we're back in the room. She's like, I'm not letting go. I want to go back outside. And I just remember that aide that I was referring to who had a really hard life. She just looked at me and I was like, man, this was a good day. I was like, it was. It was a really good day. The kingdom broke in today. And that's what it's like, you know? It's not perfection, but it's power. When you share in Christ's sufferings, the same way he identified with us on the cross, his life and us on the cross, our poverty, our disabilities, our spiritual bankruptcy, you identify with the pain and the brokenness of the world. When you carry God's burdens, you also carry the power of God's presence. When he moves you with compassion, invites you into broken places, you hold in your gut the grief and the hope. You hold the other's pain while you release healing. You hold the burden while you release intercession. You hold the immensity of the need while you release supernatural multiplication. You carry eternity in your womb. We don't get the resurrection without the cross. We don't get Easter without Good Friday, but we do get the resurrection. We do get Easter. Jesus is making all things new again. And when we begin to carry eternity into our hurting world, we experience the joy and the hope and the rest that Jesus is offering us. And moving in the Spirit's compassion will not only bless our city and bless the heart of God, but it will move you toward receiving this compassion for yourself. Because if we can't move past our own pain and brokenness, we will become buried in it. We will just get lost in it. Following Jesus means that he will always lead you toward hurting humanity. And we need to be moved by compassion that is initiated and released by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Why don't we stand? So, I had a sense of what the Holy Spirit wanted to do with us today, but I'm just going to trust him, because he reminded me this morning that this was his doing and his responsibility, not mine, to show up. So I'm like, oh, good, that's good. Yeah, because it is all my fault. I got nothing to bring. I'm hoping I brought my teaching to you. I fed you with my teaching. That's all right, thank you. So I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to release compassion today, and I don't know if it's going to be compassion for you personally, that sort of transactional thing where he takes on burdens that you're carrying and replaces them with his rest. But I also think for some of us, he is inviting us to carry his burdens for the hurting world, his compassion. And when I have received this from the Lord, it is something he does. It's not like he's making me a more compassionate person. He's doing something supernatural, and he's releasing something into my heart, which gives me the capacity to carry the burdens and joy at the same time, to not get buried by them, but instead to be moved by them in a way that releases his kingdom. And so I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and minister to you, and also invite you to receive from him. I think for some of us, he's going to release very specific his compassion, which feels different than your just a sense of feeling overwhelmed because you're trying to take on things you're not meant to carry. And so, Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come right now. Just come, Holy Spirit. I just pray for release of your mercy and your compassion today, God, and that you would expand our hearts to receive your burdens for those around us, Lord. Let's come, Holy Spirit. Jesus. So when I read that part about people coming and bringing Jesus, their friends and children that were like lame and crippled or had other issues and laid them at his feet, that was like a moment where the Holy Spirit showed up in that moment for me. And I'm thinking now there's something in that for some of you. There was this sense of an invitation of like almost like you're carrying like a sick child to him and just laying at his feet. It's like whatever you're carrying that's just too complicated and too big for you to navigate. I feel an invitation for you to lay that at his feet and to receive his rest. And then sometimes the Lord will just release almost a gift of tears. And it's just sometimes actually a release of just the things he's crying over. And he may even give you pictures of people and places that he's just inviting you into those spaces. But you're trusting him to supernaturally multiply whatever. You're trusting him for the power to intercede or the power to release whatever he has. And so he's just sharing his heart with you and depositing his compassion. And some of you actually, I think, operate in kingdom solutions, but you don't really realize it because you think it's like just your own gifting, like, or you think it's just like, I'm good at that thing. For some of you, it's very like a very like engineer like mine, or just very like good solution oriented mind, where you can see problems and be like, oh, this could happen to like, and some of that is just actually like kingdom solutions that look like you have an ability to receive that, and you don't often think of it that way. And I feel like the Lord really just wants to affirm that and bless it, and that you're hearing from God as you're like problem solving in your brain. Like, that's just something. And so I feel like the three things I'm feeling led to invite you to receive prayer for are, if you're receiving a sense of like just the Lord's compassion for the world, we just like to bless that. And then if you are that sense of laying something really heavy down at the feet of Jesus, that's just too much. And then I really think for some of you, there's like a few of you who are like, I am really good at like problem solving. And I've just thought it was like, you know, there is natural gifting there, but I feel like the Lord wants to say, no, like I am funneling a lot of this through you, and I want to funnel more. And you might not think of yourself that way. And I feel like the Lord's like saying, you are that way. That's how I made you, so I can funnel kingdom solutions through you. So if that resonates with you, there'll be some of us in the back that would love to pray for you. So during worship, anytime, just come and receive prayer.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.